This episode of Attention Talk Radio is brought to you by children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention, with your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. Our topic tonight, ADHD and supporting your kids when you're gone.
We're going to get to the content in a moment. Before we do, we'd like to thank children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder for bringing this program to you. In celebration of that event, we're anxious to give away free digital copies of Attention Magazine. To get yours, just listen to our show. We'll be sharing a secret word a couple times. Write it down. Listen to another show. And write down the secret word of that show, and then just email me the two words. That's all you need to do. Email address is attention@attentiontalkradio.com. When we get it, we'll forward it to Chad. We'll get you a PDF copy of the current edition of Attention Magazine, and they'll send you a PDF copy of the next edition when it's in print. We have a little tip that we're going to share with you that Chad made, and we'll get into the show.
When you have ADHD, putting in an 8-hour workday while maintaining maximum concentration can be a challenge. Here are some strategies to help. Make your physical environment less distracting. Use your laptop, smartphone, or alarm to track appointments and deadlines. Break up long tasks into shorter ones. Take breaks and walk around. Before you leave work, take 5 minutes to organize your work area for the next day. To learn more about workplace issues, visit chad.org.
Thank you so much, Chad, for your continued support. For those that are not aware, Chad is the largest not-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. We encourage all of our listeners to either donate or become members to support Chad. Financial stability is really important for them to have the resources to have people lobbying on Capitol Hill for the ADHD community and working with different regulatory agencies on wording to make sure that those with ADHD get the accommodations that they need in order to thrive. Again, for more information, to donate, or to become a member, go to chadd.org.
So, Jan, please introduce our guest.
Yes, Jeff, we're very happy to have attorney and CPA James Lang with us today. Jim Lang is the author of 10 best-selling financial books that help retirement plan owners get the most out of what they've got. The Wall Street Journal has endorsed Jim's tax and estate planning strategies 36 times. As the father of a daughter with a disability, Jim recognized the need for long-term plans to secure the financial future of disabled kids into their adulthood. To help families navigate legacy planning for children with special needs, Jim authored Retire Secure for Parents of a Child with a Disability with two experts in the disability field. So, Jeff, we're very happy to have Jim Lang with us today.
Jim, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
This is kind of a unique show for us. We do a lot of content that is really helpful to a lot of people, but this is really more to a niche. And our show tonight is really targeted as if you're a parent of an ADHD kid, or really a complex kid, and the child's got some challenges later in life. What are you going to do when you're gone, and how do you support your children? So our topic is that tonight. And there's one area that we're not going to talk about that I do want to bring awareness to, and that is years ago I got out of college and I sold disability insurance, group disability insurance for Aetna. And a lot of employers give you a disability policy. You can buy that on your own. But the U.S. government has a disability program for people that are truly disabled. And it's a very difficult to become so disabled, because you basically have to prove that you can't provide any gainful employment in the U.S. economy. It's a difficult definition, but it's out there. And if you've got a disabled kid who's got a disability and there's some challenges and they're real, we're not going to talk about it tonight, but I do want you to be aware of that. You can go to some organizations or people that are experts that can help you navigate that system. I know when I was in the insurance business, we told people expect to get denied 3 or 4 times on that, because it's a very rigid definition, but just know that that's out there. So, Jim, I want to begin to this area of supporting your kids when you're gone. How did you first become interested in this or attracted to it?
Well, I have a background as a CPA attorney working with people that have IRAs and retirement plans. And then when we realized that our child was not going to be okay, and that she would likely never be able to work, then what I thought is, okay, I'm going to use my existing background in order to figure out a way to provide for her for the rest of not only my and my wife's life, but also for our daughter's life. And that became, you know, a huge worry for us. But I was able to come up with what I believe are three critical steps. You mentioned the first one, which was getting qualified for a government program like SSI or SSDI. But that's what got me going. I didn't do it, you know, for clients. I actually did it for my own family.
Wow, that's a big deal. So it's of necessity yourself. And, you know, my sense when we first started talking about it, not only are you helping your family, but it's becoming a little bit of calling for you, because I know you're putting together a summit for people with disabilities and parents relatively soon that may or may not, if you're listening to this, it might have passed. But this is something that you're doing because you're really called to help people that are out there. Is that an accurate assumption?
Yeah, it is, because – you know, for the most of the planning that I've done, which is very frankly helping middle class and higher, you know, folks that have money, to help them have more money, pass on more money, and that's great. And if I say botch it, whether it's the retirement planning and estate planning, and maybe a beneficiary ends up with $200,000 or $300,000 less or $500,000 less, whole thing, but it's not a tragedy. On the other hand, if you have a child with a disability who can't work, and because you didn't have optimal planning and optimal strategies, and that child is worse off by a couple $100,000, that could be huge.
Yeah.
So it, to me, you can make such a difference without all that much work or planning, and I wanted to get the word out as much as I could, because frankly, it makes me feel good knowing that I could potentially have a huge impact just as in the work that you do.
Mm-hmm. And so, as a parent who has some assets potentially that they want to, you know, take care of their disabled child when they're gone, it seems like there's a lot of challenges here in terms of passing that money on, because you could have somebody who's exceptionally astute but just have some other issues, or you might have some concerns about their ability to manage money or lots of other stuff that's out there. So it seems to me that the concept of leaving a nest egg behind to take care of your disabled child makes a lot of sense, but it's not as simple as one might imagine. Am I misrepresenting that?
No, that's absolutely it, particularly with issues like ADD or ADHD or other people maybe on an autistic spectrum or other situations. It's sometimes not clear if your child is going to, you know, qualify for SSI and SSDI, or maybe they're going to do better. And one of the problems is, well, gee, if there's different types of planning for different children in different situations, how do you plan appropriately when you can't, you don't have you can't predict the future accurately with a lot of people. So the issue then becomes how do you build in that flexibility in your planning?
And I think that we're going to get in, everybody, this is, want to be clear, we're not giving legal advice or anything here. What we're really trying to do is educate you on some possibilities so that if you're a parent in this situation and you think through some of these things and know a couple things are available. So I want to be kind of clear, we're not giving legal advice, but we want to educate you on these waters a little bit. And Jim, it seems to me is that, you know, some of the inherent things is, let's say I got a kid that has a disability and they're like a lower IQ and, like really struggle with ADHD. You know, one of the things that I'm not sure I want to do is leave a lot of money to that particular individual when I'm gone, because of the impulsive nature of things. It seems to me that could be gone in a heartbeat. So there's certain things that you could pass money on, but there's other instruments that can be used to pass the money on to benefit the child that's not going to be directly put into their bank account. This would come kind of in the form of like trusts and stuff like that. Is that accurate?
That is accurate.
And so, when – go ahead.
No, I was going to tell you what your options are in that situation, but I don't want to stop your flow.
Yeah. Thank you. So we got – I just want to kind of clarify. You got maybe some kids that are astute that could handle this, and maybe you're comfortable moving – passing the money directly to them. You also might have somewhere – I'm not so comfortable – passing the money on to them because I'm not so sure they can handle the money. And there's another level here where you're passing the money on that not only do you want managed, but you actually want to protect that money from other creditors or other types of things. Like maybe your child would be eligible for a governmental program, but you wouldn't want those assets to be kind of considered or taken advantage of. It seems to me those are three different kind of scenarios. Is that accurate or did I misrepresent that?
I think it is, and I think that there's some very good choices if you're in one of those three situations, and then there's a special area that most of your listeners, and even for that matter, most estate attorneys don't know about that we can get into if you like.
Yep. Well, we're definitely wanted to kind of do that. And I tell you what, this is actually a good stopping point. We're going to go to commercial break a little bit early because I want to come back and start talking about some of these vehicles, but I don't want to kind of chop it all off. So we're going to go to a break in a second. Jim, you're very kindly going to make a book that's available to our listeners. And can you I think you said a free book. Can you share what the title is?
Yeah, the title is Retire Secure for Parents of a Child with a Disability. And I'm actually delighted to provide that to your listeners. And they can sign up for that at no cost at disabledplanningchild.com /podcast.
Yep. Podcast, okay. Podcast. So everybody, again, if you go to disabledchildplanning.com /podcast, you can you go to that webpage and they can get you get this free book to you. Everybody, our secret word tonight is gone. And by the way, you can also learn more about Jim and everything else by going to disabledplanning.com. Again, our secret word tonight is gone. And a special shout out to Time Timer, a longtime advertiser of ours, who've got Time Timer is actually kind of a cool little clock that's got a cognitive shortcut for those that struggle with time. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
Are you a parent of a child, teen, or young adult with ADHD? If you're like us, you're always looking for something you can do that will really help your kids. Impact Parents gives you the tools with guidance so you can empower your kids so they can learn to manage their own lives. For confidence in parenting and peace in your home, download a free guide with 12 key coaching tools. Go to impactparents.com/parentADHD for the guidance you've been seeking. That's impactparents.com/parentADHD. Start making things better for your family today.
Transform lives as a professionally trained ADHD coach at the ADD Coach Academy. ADHD coaching is in demand, a calling, and a career. Learn how you can change lives by going to addca.com/ATR. That's addca.com/ATR.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Jim Lang, just trying to provide a little bit of an education for parents out there of disabled children that are concerned how they can support their kids when they're gone. We're just kind of teeing things up a little bit before the break, and I want to reiterate that we're not giving legal advice. We're just trying to give an education for you to maybe get some context and think about things. So, Jim, we talked about one is you could just leave your money directly to your kids, and if you got some kid that's fiscally responsible and you really think that's an option. But I know for me is that I think if I was in that situation, I would want to have somebody else kind of overseeing that money, and I think there's a couple different instruments that can do that. I think one is just a I guess what I say that I guess we can do that via trust or something like that. Is that right?
Yeah. So first of all, let's try to more or less eliminate the first option, which is just leaving it to the child, which even for a child who is doing pretty well, that's pretty risky because that money is open to all kinds of creditors. It doesn't protect any potential government benefit. It is subject to, and a likely creditor might be a future ex-spouse taking advantage of the child. So in most situations, even if you think the child's going to be okay, I'd be very hesitant, to, particularly a large sum of money, to leave that money to the child outright. So then we get into the next option, which is, let's call it a creditor's trust. So this is the money against any creditors. It protects the money from the child himself. So if a child would do something impulsive or stupid, they literally couldn't have access to the money. And you would typically have a trustee. I prefer a family member because I'm a cheapskate, but sometimes, and I like to keep control in the family, sometimes that's not possible, in which case you have a trust company. But it's usually something like when the child's young, it's health, maintenance, support, education, postgraduate education, and invasion. And then let's say normally it would be released at certain dates based on the child's life, age. Here I'm suggesting that the money stay in trust for the rest of the life of the child, which protects the child. The downside of that type of trust, which gives the trustee a lot of discretion and is, let's call it the alter ego of leaving the money to the child directly. It's similar in its goal. We're trying to protect the child completely. There's also something called a special needs trust. And a special needs trust is meant to have benefits available for the child, but is protected. So if the child qualifies for a government benefit, whether it's SSI, SSDI, an insurance benefit, whatever it might be, that the child is deemed not to have money for the purposes of that benefit, and that benefit would continue, where if you left it outright to the child or in that first trust that we talked about, then the government would either not pay the benefit or worse, go into that pot of money for benefits that have already been paid. So the special needs trust is a wonderful choice for people who have their child has already qualified for SSI or SSDI, and it's not a borderline situation, whether it's a very low IQ, where something that is, it's very obvious the child will never be able to work. They've been qualified, so that becomes a great solution. The problem is, what do we do if we just don't know how well our child is going to do in the future, or the child has not yet qualified for a government benefit, but maybe they will in the future?
So on the special needs, it's my primitive language here, it's almost hiding the money, so it's not like it's a part of the kid. So when you're making an application, it looks like the child doesn't have money, if you will, and would qualify, whereas if it did have assets, either the government would say, we're not going to pay because you could pay for yourself, or they would take some money out of that. So it really protects those assets from the government at some point in time. Whereas the other trust, the credit trust, it's protecting it from the creditors and the child. And I'm going to assume, let's say hypothetically, the child ran up a credit card bill, et cetera, and that way the child might have to apply for Chapter 7 or whatever, because and the creditors would be at loss because the creditors couldn't tap into the trust. However, the trust would still pay periodically. So like once the Chapter 7 is filed, the credit is kind of forgiven. It's a way for your kid to kind of start new. So am I misrepresenting that? Is that accurate?
Well, everything you said was accurate, except a lot of situations there might not be a Chapter 7, but that the money would just be wiped out if it wasn't in a trust.
Okay, yep.
So this way, I mean, maybe the child goes Chapter 7, maybe there's a bunch of creditors, and let's just say there's $500,000 or $1 million or even $250,000 or whatever it is,
yep,
in the trust, that money in the trust is protected.
Yep.
And that is the goal for us parents with a special needs child, that the special needs child is provided for, preferably, mm-hmm, not only for our lifetime but the life of the child.
Yep. And on the creditor trust, you would appoint like a trustee, a family member, or you have to go get a service. The advantage of a family member is it's somebody that's in touch and attuned to the particular person, whereas if you're hiring outside, they might not know the kid very well. And so in terms of distribution, having somebody actually know the kid and be involved is a little bit, it's more customized because they're familiar with the situation as a third party who might not know really what's the context of the kid. Is that an accurate assessment?
It is. And the other thing is the family member presumably has the child's best interests at heart.
Yep.
That theoretically a trustee would have, but a family member is more likely to. A family member is likely to waive a trustee fee.
Yep.
And the family member has control. And the family member doesn't have to be a genius. You know, they,
yep,
can hire a financial advisor. They could hire a tax preparer. They can hire an attorney. But it's something – but they ultimately have control. If you name a corporate fiduciary, you know, the bank or a trust company, you've effectively lost control.
Yep.
So now, on the other hand, sometimes there's so much tension between the family members that they just can't deal with each other, in which case – you might have to go to a bank.
Yep.
But my first preference is some type of trusted,
yep,
family member. Again, they don't have to be a financial genius, but you just want them,
yep,
somebody who's going to be honest and fair with the child.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tell you what, I want to go to a break because I'm going to come back because Jim's got a great bit of news for us that most people are really not aware of. So we're going to come back and talk about kind of the best case scenario possibly. Again, before we go to the break, remember, go check out the website, disabledchildplanning.com/podcast. If you go there, you can sign up and get a free copy of Jim's book. Our secret word tonight is gone, G-O-N-E. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Change your life by learning more about managing ADHD. Other places give you a few tips. The ADD Coach Academy will change your life. To find out more, go to addca.com/ATR. That's addca.com/ATR.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
Could hiring an attention coach really help you move forward? Does a child get wet when they dive into a swimming pool? You can get started moving forward today. Just call Dig Coaching Practice at 813-837-8084 and schedule a free consultation. Tell us you heard about us on Attention Talk Radio and get 50% off your discovery session. For more information, visit digcoaching.com. Don't delay, do it today. And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to Attention Talk Radio. We're having a conversation with Jim Lang, specifically about just really an education to kind of help you get your head around the notion of supporting your kids when you're gone. We've been trying to frame out a couple of different scenarios, and before the last break, Jim was talking about a creditor trust and a special needs trust, and kind of the benefits and of why you would consider them. You know, Jim, one of the things that's kind of interesting as a coach is I work with people and coach them along, but I've done this show for a long time and gotten the benefits, and I find myself often really educating people with ADHD on things that are not easily available. For example, women when they start to hit premenopause, estrogen levels drop, and it can create a real problem. In fact, there's a lot of women who get diagnosed with ADHD at that stage of life, and the OBGYNs are just not necessarily educated or aware of the hormonal change with regard to ADHD. And so oftentimes I'm talking to women about that to educate them to go talk to their OBGYNs to do some stuff. And I think that's a kind of an interesting analogy here, is because when you go out into the world of trust and stuff, it's out there. But there's this thing, I think you said it's a toggle trust, that my understanding of it, there's not a lot known about it, which is one of the reasons we're educating people, because it's really kind of a cool kind of trust. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
Sure. So let's say that you know a trust is appropriate, but the problem is you just don't know if your child is going to qualify for a government benefit. And if you know your child's going to qualify for a government benefit, then that trust has to be very, very tight. And the advantage of it is it does protect the child's government benefit, and also has enormous estate planning advantages, which we're not going to get into. So that would be a great solution. Or, hey, you know your child's never going to qualify. Maybe there's a couple things that aren't going to be perfect, but your child's never going to qualify for a government benefit, in which case you use let's call it a standard creditor's protection trust. But for mm-hmm. a lot of people, we just don't know. Mm-hmm. So particularly if the child is young, and even if the child isn't, sometimes, you know, we think the child's going to be okay and they're not. Sometimes we think that they're not going to be okay and they are. And we might not even know, because we're trying to guess on how the child's going to be after we're gone. So mm-hmm. the dilemma becomes, gee, do I use a standard protection trust or do I use a special needs trust? Mm-hmm. And there is a concept in the law, and you used the word earlier, called a toggle trust.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, to oversimplify, at your death, it allows the trustee to make the decision, not now while we're drafting the document, but at your death, whether the money goes into a standard creditor's trust, which would be the best for the child if they're mm-hmm. not getting a government benefit, or whether it would go to a special needs trust, which would be great to protect the government benefit, but wouldn't be as useful to the child.
Mm-hmm.
So you make that decision, or, you know, actually the trustee makes that decision of which type of trust the money goes into, not today while we're drafting the will or the trust, but literally at the date of death of the grantor or the person who is funding that trust at their death. So this concept of a toggle trust is just so few, even by the way, in this area, I really encourage people to go to a specialist. You know, I had a law firm for many years. We did 3,000 wills, but we didn't do any for kids with special needs. And the reason is because I thought it was a specialty area. So here I am, you know, an estate attorney that does a lot of work, and particularly with people with IRAs. And I would turn that work away because I was not a specialist. If you have a child with special needs, you don't want to just go to Joe Schmo attorney.
Yep.
Even if it's a good attorney, you want to go to a specialist. And to make matters worse, some of the specialists don't even know about this toggle trust.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to, you know, I'm just delighted that you're willing to share this information, because it's such a great solution for so many parents who just don't know how well their kid is going to do in the future.
And I wanted to bring this out there again. Everyone, we're not giving legal advice, but we want you to be aware of this when you're out there talking, because you don't know what you don't know. And, you know, I know when you write out a will, you do that at a point in time, and, you know, life could go on, or maybe something happens, you become incapacitated or whatever, or there's all kinds of stuff associated with this. So the decision has to be made, but you can delay that decision based off last minute information, based off of where your child is. The trustee can do that. And so what it does is I think it takes a little bit of the anxiety out, at least as of right now, because you don't know the future, and it gets it closer to that point in time where it needs to be made a decision. And the goal of making you aware of it so that to be thinking through this, to be aware of the difference between the special needs trust and the credit protection trust, but also this toggle is really, I think, what this show is really all about, to bring that to their attention and to be able to manage it. And so if a person is out there and they're dealing with some estate person and they're referencing this, what are the buzzwords? Does a toggle trust actually, if they were, is it there by name, or are there other names that, or buzzwords that a person might need to use to help educate an attorney on it?
I think the toggle trust, by the way, you used a critical word in this whole area, which is anxiety. Because this is an area that that parents are obviously very anxious about, our overriding worry, and something that I discovered in interviewing my own daughter is I didn't realize the extent of anxiety that she had about money herself.
Mm-hmm.
So before we had everything set up and in place, she was worried, oh my God, you know, mom and dad only have so much money, and I know they're going to keep doing everything they can provide for me, but gee, I'm going to need money. I might live 40, 50 years after mom and dad are gone.
Mm-hmm.
But getting the appropriate planning in place,
mm-hmm,
with all the appropriate trust and then the appropriate things that my mom, that her mom, my wife, and I did, you know, now,
yep,
just made a huge difference in lowering the anxiety quotient,
yep,
or portion for our entire family. And
absolutely,
that's one of the reasons why I want to be so proactive in writing this book and doing,
yep,
a virtual summit. I just want people to have this information, preferably take action,
mm-hmm,
you know, with or without an attorney, preferably with, in the area of estate planning. But there are certainly a lot of things people can do without it,
yep,
an attorney. You know, you don't need it, while it's great to have an expert help you get qualified for SSI or SSDI, it's not a requirement, and it's,
yep,
and it's not a requirement to plan well. So we put,
yep,
everything we could in our book about that. But anyway, reducing anxiety, I wanted to emphasize that.
Absolutely.
Because that is one of the benefits.
It is a really, really good point. And this is my two cents, everybody. This is not science. It's just my thing. Is I've learned over the years is that there's certain things that are just not really good DIY projects, because you don't know what you don't know. And I've done house projects before where I get into something I found out I got you or I didn't know, or something that a professional would know. And so while you can do a lot of this stuff on your own, I would encourage you to seek the counsel of a professional so they guide you through. Because as always, when you get the gotcha, sometimes it costs you more to fix the gotcha than whatever. So again, the topic today was really to reach out to the people that this spoke to bring some education awareness and be aware of the toggle trust. And Jim, I just want to thank you so much for coming on the show for the education. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Everybody, get his free book by going to disabledchildplanning.com/podcast. Again, disabledchildplanning.com/podcast. Our secret word tonight is gone. With that, we hope you've enjoyed this edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.